Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Form 10 Fighting Champion John Chung, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, protecting the history, one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
Well, aloha, everybody, and much mahalo. We've got an interesting but a fun show tonight because my old teammate, Mr. Tony Lopez, is my special guest. But before I introduce him and my co-host, I want to bring on my producer who's put me on the air for the past 8 years coming up, Hunty Jesse Bowen. Are you there, sir?
I am, sir. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing great, great. I saw a great picture of you and your black Corvette. You're washing it. Are you having a good time?
Listen, I'm loving life, and life is loving me back.
Cool. Well, I know you got Alan Goldberg's new book coming up and William LeBam Johnson's youth book coming up. But what else has Hunty Jesse Bowen got going on? Tell my listeners.
Well, you know, we're really working on trying to put together with Sue Bam's book as our first event this year, a nonprofit program to support kids. So we're looking to put about $5,000 in a scholarship program that we're going to be giving out to kids that's actually focused, you know, that's featured in our book. So, you know, we're really trying to do some things, giving back to the martial arts and really trying to build some things, you know, really make some things happen. You know, we just got confirmation. We're running a contest about our 22 book, which is the Martial Artists Changing Lives, about who's going to be on the cover. So we're running a contest. If someone can guess who the cover feature is going to be, now you may know, Fessers, but you can't tell anybody, then we're going to give them a $25 Amazon gift card if they can guess who will be featured on this year's cover of the Martial Arts Changing Lives biography.
Oh, cool.
So, you know, we're excited about that.
Well, anytime you do a contest and people have a chance to win something, that's cool. And I'm excited about it. But, you know, what else? I mean, you do a podcast and you do some other things. What other things you got going on with your radio network?
Well, you know, we are now a television producer. So my wife has a show that is now worldwide, which is called Preach the Word. So, you know, we have that. We released the first Christian book, God Gives Me Vision, back here in September. What we're really, you know, the podcast is called The Power to Live Your Vision. And these are things that we're trying to teach and help people with, is understanding the power that lives within you, within every person. How do I access that power? How can I access, my belief system? You know, how can I make changes in my world? And leadership. So these are all the things that's taught in our martial arts, but they're taught on a different level. So we're trying to bring martial arts and the inner art, bringing those two things together, so people are not just the physical side, but they're discovering themselves. Many people go through life and they really have no idea who they are or anything, you know. And the question I ask, you know, in the end, what do you have? Did you use a very good life, or did you waste a perfectly good life? So our program is about motivation. It's about transformation. It's about personal empowerment.
Well, that's exciting, too. Well, you know, we got to hang on to our seatbelts because October 7th and 8th next year, we're honoring Judge Roy Kirby. We got Bill Wallace and yourself and Joe Corley and Mr. Smith and Ron Marchini and all kinds of cool people coming together in Houston next year for the Roy Kirby tribute. And Roy was, well, he's Judge Roy Kirby, but you know, he was a top 10 professional fighter. He was a head judge of KICK, you know, the KICK organization. And he runs now the Tarrant County Sheriff Department for Sheriff Wayborn. So we're going to be honoring Mr. Kirby next year, October 8th, and I'm excited what you bring to the table for that, because I know by next year you're going to have bigger and better things. You know, I mean, it's incredible what you've done in the past few years with the books and the radio show, and thank you. Thank you for believing in me and the museum. I really appreciate it, Archie Bowen. I really do. Thank you so much.
Well, you know, one thing I would like to say, I would like for our guests and everyone, I know you're putting it out there, you know, we need to have, before the end of the year, we need to have 268 listeners click that play button so we can cross that 14,000 listeners by the end of this year. And we need to not just to have listeners, but we also need to have subscribers. So right now I'm looking for, we'd like to have about 80 subscribers to our network, and that means that anytime we have a show comes up, they're notified about it, so they're always in touch with what's going on. So, you know, for our guests tonight, please share the link that you're on tonight. Please share it and, you know, email it to your students so that, you know, we can really, really get out there and show the impact that the radio show is having.
Well, you know what's exciting is our network. We got Karen Eden Herman. We got William Van Johnson. We got Miss Gwen Bowen, your wife. We got you. And we got, you know, the Hawaiian guy. But we got a great network going on. And yeah, emphasize that one more time for me, Archie. Say that again, please.
Yeah, so please, you know, share the program from tonight. You can go to our Facebook page for the radio show, and I'm going to drop that link in there. Share it with your friends. You know, don't just be on here and have a conversation. Share the conversation. You know, we need about 268 people to cross 14,000 for listeners. We need people hitting the play button. And we also want people to subscribe so that they don't miss our show. So they can go to the website and they can subscribe, and and once they subscribe, then they can catch all of our shows.
Well, you have a newsletter too that they can respond to. I see that when you go to the online web store, that's www.sportkaratemuseumhistorybook.com, and you've got mugs, mouse pads, hoodies, hats, T-shirts. So remember that this holiday season, ladies and gentlemen, you can support the museum and the, you know, the book by going to our website. Again, it's www.sportkaratemuseumhistorybook.com. Well, thank you, Hachi Bowen, for your moment, and thank you for a great year, and we're going to have a great one coming up. Thank you so much. I appreciate you so much.
Yes, sir.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Hachi Jesse Bowen, the president of Elite Publications and the people that produce our book. Well, I'd like to introduce two people that really helped me change my journey. And the first person is the one and only Dean Piles. I adopted him from Mr. Joe Lewis, and I'm proud to say he's my student. He's a NASCA world champion, a Marine. And excuse my language, he's a badass. But are you there, Dean?
Yes, sir. I'm right here.
The check's in the mail, right, for that introduction.
Yeah, the check's in the mail.
Well, we got a great show. Let me get to AJ. AJ Perry is an amazing man. He's a Taekwondo master. And you guys know me. I don't say the word master or grandmaster ever. But A.J. Perry is a master of Taekwondo. The only problem is he's a Yankee, and I say that in love. I want to introduce my other co-host, Mr. A.J. Perry. A.J., are you there?
How are you, Professor? Thanks for the nice introduction.
I'm doing better, buddy. I'm so glad.
I know you missed COVID over here. Pardon me?
I'm so glad you survived COVID. And I know you were ill there for a couple of weeks. But
feeling much better.
Hey, Professor, I don't know if you know this, but I had COVID and then it died. It had me for about 3 days and had all it wanted. It was like I'm tired of messing with you, man.
That's because
what Marines do is
mean,
they get their immune system
virus.
So drunk it'll fight anything.
Well, what I'm saying, you're too damn mean for any virus to stay in your body. So, ladies and gentlemen, those are my two co-hosts, the amazing Dean Pyles and the incredible A.J. Perry. Now, tonight, I've got a very special show. I don't know I say that every week, but tonight is special because he is a teammate of mine. We actually competed in NBL, which is the National Black Belt League, and a man named George Minshew put together a NBL Texas team. It was Danielle Dixon, Jennifer Robles, Chris Minshew, my special guest, and some Hawaiian guy. My special guest is the incredible Tony Lopez. Now, let me brag about him a little bit because he will never brag about himself. He's not that type of person, so I'll do it for him. He is the only man that I know of that won 5 kickboxing titles, PKC, NKA, WKA, you know, all kinds of incredible things. But I go back to the 70s, back when he was with Bill McDonald, and I was living in the basement of Sam Chapman's karate school, and that's where we met. Now, Tony is a Marine. Now, you're not ever a former Marine. You're always a Marine. So he's a Marine. He's also one of the best point fighters that we ever had in America. But the only problem I have with Tony Lopez is I never could beat him. I mean, I competed against Tony hundreds of times, and I probably took more second and more third places to Tony Lopez than anybody in the country in the 40 years I competed. So anyway, I'm so proud to introduce my dear friend, world champion, and I don't think that lightly, world champion Tony Lopez. Tony, you there, buddy?
I'm here, brother. It's good to be here with all my some martial arts family and friends.
Well, if your girlfriend's there, make sure you tell her I said hello, okay?
All right. She's in the other room.
Good. Okay. Well, then we can talk about her. I'm just kidding. Well, first of all, Tony, I know you're from Puerto Rico. Am I correct?
Dominican Republic.
Okay, I was close. Okay. Anyway, tell me how you got started, you know, in a little bit of how you got involved with karate in your early years.
Well, I started karate in 1962 with George Cofield and Thomas La Puppet in Shotokan in New York.
Oh, wow, New York, yeah.
Yeah, and then in 1969, we moved to the Dominican Republic. I had my black belt in Shotokan, and in '69 we moved to the Dominican Republic, where the Junior Institute had a school there, and so I transitioned from Shotokan to Taekwondo, and I enjoyed the transition. I enjoyed, you know, the going from, you know, karate to you know, putting it together with Taekwondo kicks, but you know, I became part of the Junri family, and then in 1972 I moved back to the States and joined the Corps, and pretty much the rest is history. I had a chance to, you know, train with quite a few other black, you know, great grandmasters. That
how did you get hooked up with Bill, Mr. McDonald, rest in peace, in North Carolina?
Yeah. Bill was pretty much my manager, my okay. Kickboxing promoter, and he was and also an awesome mentor. I mean, he gave me a lot of inspiration, a lot of motivation, and you know, that think, you know, helped me become the you know, transition from karate into business. You know. It was, he was an amazing man.
Well, I remember I moved to Texas in 79 from Greenville, North Carolina. And what year did you move to Midland? Because I remember you moved to Texas in
I moved to Texas in from North Carolina because I was in North Carolina after I got out of the Corps. I stayed in Carolina, and I moved to Texas in 1981.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, please remind everybody to mute your phone if you're not talking, please, so there's no background noise. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Now, Tony, let me ask you another question. You know, we've been friends a long time, but I remember when I think it was 81 or 82, George and I and Al Garza, we drove out to Midland, Texas, and we fought in a tournament. I forgot who put it on. But then I realized my old friend Tony Lopez had moved to Texas. How cool was that?
Yeah, it was cool to run into you here because last time I saw you was back when you were living in South Carolina.
Exactly. Now, I think it was 79 or 80 when the AOK was formed. But the AOK was very powerful and still is throughout the country or throughout Texas. But I forgot what year it was in the 90s when the NBL came to Texas. But you and a man named Jose Santa Maria and George Minshew created the TNT circuit. That was the Texas National Tour. And that changed my journey, too, because you guys had a vision where I think it was really, really special was that you paid. I know this is crazy because mostly judges work for pizza and a drink. You guys paid the judges in your circuit. Who came up with that idea?
I really don't remember who came up. Between the three of us, we always had brainstorming sessions, and we really cared about the judges and trying to give them something to work for, and then we created the star certification, specially trained and registered
right.
officials, so that this was 1991, 1992, and we had the officials taking tests and to be able to judge, and some would pass, some wouldn't. They retest again.
Yeah.
They might could even retest that same evening if they tested in the morning.
Tony, one of my proudest moments, it was yesterday, was when I got my Texas flag uniform and you, Danielle, and Jennifer, and Chris, we all got to wear our uniforms and buy them and represent Texas. I thought that was the coolest thing. And I love that picture of all five of us in the museum, in our picture that George had us made. It's so cool. Now, you were NBL national, actually world point champion, but you also did creative kata, and you also did traditional kata, but you also did weapons. You were a double nunchuck man, correct?
I did double nunchuck for a while, and then I was doing the bow. And in some circuits, I did the three-sectional staff, but... Yeah, I just enjoy doing everything, and I enjoy teaching my students everything, and I just feel that, the more complete you are and the more complete you can help your students to become, the more knowledgeable they are, they're ready.
I got to tell you a funny story. You were competing, and you were on fire. I forgot what tournament it was, but Kevin was there. Little K.A., Kevin Thompson and I, because Kevin and I were real good friends, and we were kidding about how good you were, and I told Kevin I was going to eat a banana and throw the banana peel in there and let you slip on it. And Kevin bet me $1 I wouldn't do it. And I went around for about 30 minutes trying to find a damn banana so I could throw a banana peel. But you lucked out.
Atlanta?
You lucked out, buddy. I didn't find the banana peel. Now, I know you do coaching now, but didn't you have a school? I mean, I know you had a school, but you had many schools at one time, right?
I had three. We had three locations, and then I wound up selling them, retiring from it, and I sold my schools, and you know, just focusing on, you know, taking it easy right now. You know, I was doing some business consulting, some coaching, and seminars. And then I think the last one I did was in Houston, but, you know, then right after that, then we got hit with COVID, and, you know, everything just slowed down.
Well, you know, I'm honoring Judge Roy Kirvin October 8th, and I got Bill and Joe. Yep, I'll come in. I want you to seriously consider doing one of your coaching seminars for us, maybe on Friday night. I think that'd be really cool. You know, we'll talk about that. But the bottom line is, Tony Lopez, one of the great champions of all time in America, on my radio show. I mean, who would dream that you've known me for a long time that I'd have my own radio show? Isn't that cool?
It is cool. I mean, God, we go back to the early 70s. I mean, Mitch, you know.
Yeah, we go back a few years, buddy. Now, I couldn't do the show without mentioning one of your protege, your great, great competitor, and turned out to be one of the best traditional kata guys you got in America. I'm talking about your son, TJ. You know, and I remember TJ when he was, golly bum, he was 5 or 6, and I taught him how to say, look, there's Batman. And he went between my legs and kicked me in my butt in front of 1,000 people. We used to make people laugh so hard. But he grew up to be an incredible young man. Whatever happened to TJ?
He's doing really well. He's got a very successful school. His wife has a dance studio, so they have two studios within one location that run simultaneously. They just bought some prime property on a major intersection, and they're planning on building their new studio there. Hopefully they'll go under construction this year coming.
Well, make sure when you talk to him, you tell him that I love him and I brought him up on this show, okay?
I will.
He's a great guy. Well, listen, Tony, don't go nowhere because I want you to come back. We're going to play the Legends Name Game. And it's something that Bob White and I invented a few years back where I'll hit you with a name and you have to talk about it for 2 minutes like a fight. And then we go on to another name. But before we go to my segment, I want you to tell people how they would get in contact with Tony Lopez if they want to get involved with coaching or learn how to run a tournament or whatever, because you're an expert at that. Go ahead and tell people how to get in touch with you, buddy.
Well, you can always call me. I'm always available. My number is 210-601-8828. That's kind of probably the best way. I mean, you can also email me, but phone calls is a lot easier. You can, you know, if I'm
you're on Facebook,
leave
Twitter,
a text,
too,
I'll always
right.
call back.
Yeah. Okay, well, cool. Don't go nowhere. I'll bring you back in just a few minutes, okay?
All right.
Super. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to the great Tony Lopez, great point fighter, point world champion around the country, and one of the men that really has changed the attitude of what American sport karate is. But, you know, we have an incredible show now where we do various, I call them segments, but things where we talk about opinions that maybe people don't want to talk about topics, but they need to talk about them. But tonight we have a very special topic. I have a very special guest on my show tonight, and he's going to answer questions pertaining to what we've been talking about for the past year, and that's called the Self-Defense Enhanced Training in Virtual Reality Application, or better known as SetVR.app. And I'm talking about the inventor, Dr. Reginald Lee. Reggie, are you on the line?
Yes, sir. Good evening. How are you doing today?
Good evening, Reggie. Well, you know what? I put together a few questions for my panel of the 6 to ask you, and then I've got a very special guest tonight who is very important in my journey now in the Sport Karate Museum, and she's got a question for you too, but I'm going to do some one at a time. The first person that I'd like to introduce, she is a former PKL karate champion. I think that was Professional Karate League back in the 80s and 90s. And she is also a Kung Fu Qigong expert, and I'm talking about my 7-3 black belt, my dear friend, Karen Slatcher. Karen, you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you for that wonderful
How you doing? Happy holidays. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Yes, yes, everything's good.
Eat some turkey for me, honey. Now, do you have a question for Dr. Lee?
Yes, I do. Since I'm a senior lady, why do you think I could use this set VR? Would it work for me? Would it be a good thing?
Yes, I think so. If you think of looking at it in metaphor, I look at it as a metaphor. If you think of a laptop in school for children, they use the laptop as a platform for education. In regards to our program with SetVR, you can think of Oculus Quest 2 headset also as a platform whereby you can take the Oculus headset and utilize it and take home your homework from your martial arts class or from your martial arts instructor to practice your skills in self-defense against a hologram attacker that will attack you anytime, anywhere, unpredictably, anytime, anywhere, when you want, to improve your proficiency in application, to develop muscle memory, a reflex response to neutralize without hesitation against an attack, a random attack, and make it fun, educational, and progressive.
Well, thank you.
Well, that's a pretty good answer, Karen.
Yeah. Great.
Well,
thank
Karen,
you
know,
thank you.
Hope you have a super holiday, and I appreciate the question so much. Now, moving right along.
Oh, that's no problem. Bye, Gary.
Okay. Yes, honey. Moving right along. Did David call in yet? David Chambers?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, let me introduce you first. Ladies and gentlemen, there's an organization that's been in Texas since 1981 called the Amateur Organization of Karate. They have to have somebody at the head, and they have a president. Well, happened to have the president on the 6th. His name is David Chambers. But that's a claim to fame. I'm proud of him. But the most important part I'm proud of, he has won over 5 MVP awards for the organization of karate called the Golden Greek Award. And he still hasn't told me exactly how many, but I know it's over 5. But it took me 17 years to win just one. But I'm so proud of him. I've known him since the Orange Belt. He's one of the best black belts that Texas has to offer, and he's on the 6th. Hey, David, how you doing, buddy?
Today has been a fantastic day. I'm doing
good.
Great.
As long as you can go to the bank tomorrow, it's going to be better. Plus, I want you to have a happy Thanksgiving. Give my love to Jacoby and the boys. But what question do you have for my inventor on SetVR, Dr. Lee? What question do you have?
Well, this week I've been working on the great Grandmaster Fred Simon. He has been working with my students. He's going to be testing them this weekend. And so we're really excited about it. And we had a conversation about just some of the things that's new. And we were talking about, you know, the system we have. And some of the students are just asking, well, if they want to get one or they want to participate or they want to do something, how would they actually contact or be able to try it out or how to, you know, to see how they could get involved so they could try it?
That's a very good question, sir. In regards to getting started with SetVR, first of all, you would have to purchase the, of course, the platform, which is the Oculus 2 headset. And you can get the 64 gigabyte or the 256 gigabyte. They start costs about $299 for the 64 gigabyte and $399. For the 256 gigabyte, it holds more memory with the higher quality gigabytes. You can purchase it at Best Buy, Costco, or you can purchase it from the Oculus App Store. So what you do is after you purchase the headset, you go to and purchase our app. You can go into the website and dial in setvr.app. That's SETVR.app. Self-defense enhancement training in virtual reality. And then you purchase our app. The app is only very minimal. It's at $10 for the purchase of the whole program. And then you have the program set up in your headset, and you're good to go.
Wow,
Did I ask you a question, Dean?
Yeah.
Then I want you to, for Christmas, I want you to go out and buy at least 20 headsets for all your students for Christmas presents.
Oh.
Okay, buddy?
Let me go check. Let me go check.
Hey, when is the AOK meeting this year?
We have two championships this year. We're excited about it. We have the first weekend is the virtual state championship, the first weekend of December. And the second weekend of December, the 10th and 11th, is the actual in-person one. So that's the traditional one. So we're looking forward to seeing everybody there, both first and the second weekend of December.
And what city will it be in this year?
Dallas, Texas. We got the best hotel in Texas. It's a Radisson. They are looking – It is fantastic. It's excellent. So I would, love everybody there. Love to see you there.
Sounds like somebody's got a serious hairball.
you hear that, huh?
That's funny.
I don't know what that is.
I wish the luck on the AOK, and I was very proud to be a part of the AOK in the early years. And I'm so proud that golly bum, that you're the president. I'm so proud of you.
I'm excited about, like, the great ones like Tony Lopez is one of the ones that, kicked it off and got a lot of great things going with it. So, AOK does have some great history.
Hey, brother.
Well, happy holidays to you, buddy. Eat lots of turkey coming up. Now, moving right along, I'm going to introduce, to me, he's Uncle Jerry, but he's Jerry Smith, the great Jerry Smith. He is a Marine, and also he worked for Blotto Magazine in the early days, hung out with people like Bruce Lee and Chuck Norris, and he was a bodyguard for amazing people like Ringo Starr of the Beatles. But he also was the co-founder of the BKF, the Black Karate Federation, which dominated sport karate for many years. And we have him on the 6th. Uncle Jerry, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you, sir. Now, what questions do you have for the inventor, Dr. Lee, with SetVR?
Okay. Well, Dr. Lee, as a retired educator myself, I'd like to know, is SetVR an educational program? Is it a training program? Or is it a game? Also, what are the results that a student can expect after using SetVR?
Excellent question,
great
sir.
Question.
Yes, great question. There's many questions to your particular question. SetVR is not a teaching program. So it's a misnomer that this program teaches you. No, it does not teach you. We encourage and we explicitly encourage that if you want to learn about the instructional piece of martial arts, please go to your instructor, either your sifu or your master sensei, and they will teach you. The program is a practice platform. It's a program whereby you can utilize any skills that you have learned and practice against an attack that is random. And the important thing about this, unique about this program, is that it's so random that your reaction is dependent upon the hologram attacking you. So nothing is choreographed in regards to your movements. And then later on, you develop a reflex. And the goal is to develop a reflex response. As you know, with any attack, the adrenaline surges, and my instructor would always tell me, you lose about 50% of what you're taught in an adrenaline surge. Well, when you have a reflex reaction, just like if you put your hand on a hot stove, you react. And this is what we want you to do, to act reflexively. So when you're threatened by an attack, you neutralize the attack without hesitation. So the probability of you succeeding and winning the altercation is much, much enhanced. SetVR, is it a game? Yes and no. I think you can call it a hybrid. if you remember when you're young growing up playing dodgeball, someone throws the ball, and a lot of people, even myself, play dodgeball. It's very fun, interactive, and you throw against, you know, you avoid the ball. Well, think about dodgeball, and you think about what we have in our program, dodging knives. Instead of the ball being thrown, you dodge knives. Also, if you think about playing ping pong as a game when you're little or you still play ping pong, think about hitting the ping pong ball, but instead of a ping pong ball, a ball will be thrown at you, and you would need to strike the ball out of the air. So you practice the art of evasion and mobility through angular linear attacks through a fun experience. It's more like a hybrid, just like myself. I'm a hybrid. I believe I'm a hybrid martial artist because I trained in the Chinese system and also in the Japanese system, and I basically took elements that I believe works best for me. And I presented this demo, the hybrid program, at the Texas conference, whereby you can see me demonstrating my hybrid techniques against the virtual reality opponent when we showed the program or showcasing the program in Texas recently. Did that answer your question, sir?
Yes, it did. Very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Welcome, Jerry. Thank you so much for the question, and, you know, I appreciate it so much. Hey, by the way, I said earlier in the show, I got three Marines on here tonight. Isn't that cool? Tony Lopez, Dean, and you. How cool is that? Well,
and you just had the Marine Corps birthday. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
I'll introduce Happy birthday, your student from the early days, and he's an amazing man. He's a professor. He teaches, you know, and he is a professor, and he is one of your students, and he's part of the six. He's also a 10th degree black belt, and he's also the web designer of the Sport Crime Museum webpage. I'm talking about Professor Tom Spellman. Tom, are you there? Tom, can you hear me? Well, Uncle Jerry, where did Tom go?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe he got hung up on as well. I don't know.
Well, maybe I think I'm going to go to another person, but maybe give him a call and see what happens to him, okay? I appreciate
I'll do
it.
That.
Okay.
I'll do that.
I want to introduce another
right
member
now.
Of the
I'll do
six.
That right now.
Thank you, Uncle Jerry. Another member of the six. He's one of the co-hosts of the show, and I introduced him earlier, but he's also, I didn't say this, he's a spokesman for the military group that the Sport Crime Museum put together. You know, the people like Colonel Torres and Colonel Steve Vitale and Sam Chapman and Danny Lane. And, well, anyway, there are a lot of people that's on the board. But A.J. Perry is a spokesman for the military group. A.J., are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you?
What question do you have for Dr. Lee pertaining to SetVR, buddy?
Dr. Lee, who's your clientele that you want to market to? I mean, is it just limited to martial artists, or are you going to try to expand that to a different clientele?
Very good question, sir. Yes, to answer that, I think we believe the audience is very general. The audience could be children. As you notice in our program, when we showcase the program in the Carolina states, children were very, very involved. They were having fun with it. And also we had the headsets on the adults as well on the program.
Well, Eric, the kids were trying to get it away from me.
Yeah, I remember that. It was a lot of fun. So I believe our other audience is pretty interesting, and it'll probably be interesting by what I say now. I think the other audiences are military vets in regards to it providing a health advantage in helping those coming back from the military with residual problems such as PTSD and helping them with rehab. And that's something that we're approaching and plan to showcase or approach later on in our program as we further develop our program. The other audience, I believe, is the other audience we believe would be the military, the police, and martial artists, and present it as a simulation program, as you would in the military or in the police in regards to your training. You go through a simulation program. This is a simulation program as well. That's why I said it's a hybrid, because it places you in a situation whereby the attack is placed in even different scenarios. Currently, we have the alleyway scene, the parking lot scene, but later on, we plan to have different scenes where, like in a barroom setting or even in the military, a war zone, or if at your own home. If you open the door, someone rings the door bell, and you appear and try to open the door, and someone kicks down your door. That's the simulation. What would you do when something like that happens? And also, it's presented to the gamers. Did I ask your question, sir?
Well, yes, sir.
Well, good, good. Well, Reggie, I've got, first of all, did Tom get on the air yet? Professor Spellman? Okay. Hopefully he'll get back on the air, but I've got a special surprise guest that wants to ask a question that you know, she's got some good questions, but I'm going to let her ask you this question. And I'm talking about, well, she's my black belt, but she's also part of the new journey, working with some new projects, and she's very, 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 you know, caring about what happens with the museum. And I want to introduce you to, I think you met her in Greenville, not in Greenville, but in Houston. I'm talking about Ms. Lori Tobin. Lori, are you there?
I am, Gary. Thank you for having me on the show tonight. And Dr. Lee, my question is, from a business perspective, if the program is designed only to work on Oculus, if Oculus for some reason were not available, is it able to be ported over to another competitive headset, or would the program just fail to function?
Dr.
Right
Lee,
now,
isn't there 10 different headsets on the market right now, but you have to have a high-end PC to be able to download VR? Am I wrong or right about that?
You're absolutely correct about that, sir. Yeah, you're absolutely correct. There's many headsets out there right now that are a lot more expensive than the Oculus headset. You know, gee whiz, some of them, when it first came out, cost about $1,000.
Yeah.
And we chose to proceed with the one that had the best quality at the best cost, and that was the Oculus Quest headset. You have other headsets, and I give you an example, the Vive. You probably heard about the Vive headset.
Yeah.
Whereby it's a lot more expensive, and I believe it's, you know, a lot more things involved with that. But that may be a little bit more expensive than what we have here. We wanted to work with a program of a platform that is affordable, because if we set up a program and hooked it to a platform that is very, very expensive, and I think that we will minimize our audience.
Well, Laurie, do you have another question?
I do. So there are many different programs that are available to download on Oculus, and I'm wondering, how do people find VR amongst all of those programs?
Okay, they can certainly go into our website. Google it, setvr.app. You Google setvr.app, you come into our webpage. And that basically tells you everything we do in regards to our program, and will also help you connect with the program as well to purchase the app. And you can also connect and communicate with my developers through the our virtual reality app on Google. So that's how I would connect with that. My developers will be available there to answer any questions anyone may have about our program or getting started, or to maintain their program. If they need assistance, they will assist you.
You know, Christmas being right around the corner, I remember in Greenville when we did our event in November, Oculus Quest 2 went off the roof. I mean, I remember the sales, and, you know, I researched it. And, you know, I think the same thing is going to happen this year because price-wise, as you said, in the beginning, to get a headset and do a virtual reality, and for people who don't know what virtual reality is, you have a program that's done by a computer, in this case, through the Oculus Quest, it's an Android platform, but you're inside the program. You're not just looking at it. You're inside. You're immersive. And, you know, I think that this year the Oculus Quest 2 headset's going to go crazy. I mean, it really is. So what would be the easiest way for people to just see what SetVR is? Just go to Google, right, and type it in?
Yes, sir. Yes, exactly. The other way and is in regards to what we have to offer is the programs that you have to offer, the conference programs that you have. The last one we went to was just the conference at Texas, Houston, Texas. And there's you put the headset on there and you interact with it. And, the audience had a blast with it. As AJ would say when we presented it in the Carolinas.
Right. Well, you know, it's all about, with everything that you do in life, it's all about education. And that's what we're trying to do with this program, what we're doing with SetVR. And the neat thing that I enjoy about the idea about SetVR is that it's educational. If we get off with the History Journal portals, it's fun, it's interesting, it's a hell of a workout, and it's progressive. It's always going to change. Now, before we go, does any of the six, and I miss Professor Spellman, but did he get on there yet? Okay. Has any of the six got another question for Dr. Lee? Because having him on the air and answering questions is very cool. So anyone you guys got
yep.
a better question to ask?
Yeah, Professor, you skipped Wolverine.
I would never skip the Wolverine, but go ahead, Dean. Ask your question,
so,
buddy.
So, yeah. So my question will be back towards the Oculus Quest on what it does as far as the history portals.
Yes, yes. That's a very good question. Right now what we have is the History Portal demo. And what we're showing in the History Portal demo is the Japanese village, the hologram attacker where you interact with the hologram attacker. You walk through the Japanese village, and then after you meet the hologram attacker and you interact with him and defeat the hologram attacker, you walk up to the steps of the History Museum. And in the future, you'll be meeting the Wisdom Warrior. And we all hands down recommend it, and we'll have Professor Gary Lee as the person to speak of in regards to the Wisdom Warrior. So he'll be up there in regards to bringing on our vision, introducing and bringing on the History General. And that's our vision that we want to do, is to bring the program and have the museum in virtual reality. And that's our goal, and that's the vision that we have.
Right, well, right. Yeah, because I know a lot of people will be looking for that, you know, education out of for the History Generals and what it means and all that good stuff, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, Reggie, I got one more question, okay? In SetVR, okay, when it came about, you were influenced by a couple people, Rick Wigger, rest in peace, and, of course, Ronald Duncan, who was Rick's instructor. But what influence did Rick Wigger give you to create SetVR?
Well, it was let me give you a little background on myself. I really don't like to talk about myself. I'd rather have my actions speaking better than words. So, you know, when you talk about yourself, you know, it doesn't sound right. But I think if you get a little bit of my history of what I went through and how I met Sensei Wigginson, and then that'll explain the impetus and how SetVR evolved. The journey started when I was 8 years old, and my motivation also started at that time too. And I had an altercation at school when I was going through grade school at the age of 8 years old, And it basically created an issue whereby I was in and out of hospitals for about a half to three quarters of a year. I was basically bedridden and had to go through a rehab program and spend a long time to learn how to walk again. So, you know, a lot of people don't know about that history about me, but that created my motivation in regards to protecting myself from self-defense. So basically, subsequently, my father, bless his soul, he rest in peace, he took me to my first martial arts school in Kung Fu with Sifu Jin Fu Mark from New York. He was from New York. He studied. We studied in Southern Praying Mantis with the Ordnung Association in Philadelphia. Subsequently, I transitioned to my second Kung Fu school with Sifu Thad Low. And I spent many years there through my grade school, my high school, and through my college, and I studied a system of Hong Gar, Wing Chun, Kung Fu, and weaponry. That's where I learned my programs in Chinese art from the foundation through the Hip Sing Association in Philadelphia. At the same time, I attended Temple University, and I studied Aikido. During that period of time, I advanced to a position of assistant instructor in Hong Gar in Wing Chun in the school. And down the road, I had to turn down the position of being head of the school and to pursue my career in medicine. When I came back after graduation, I went back to the school and I found that my Sifu, Thad Low, had passed away. In the early 90s, this is when I met Sensei Wingerton. I transitioned in the 90s to the Japanese system into his school, DSI, Defense Science Institute, whereby I was trained in Nikon Kempo, Aiki Jiu-Jitsu, Kogurai Ninjutsu, and IE Jitsu with Sensei Richard Wingerton, whereby he emphasized the application of martial arts against unpredictable attacks. In regards to degrees, my degrees started with Sensei Richard Wingerton. As you know, the Chinese system didn't have black belts, the true Chinese system. The black belts went outside the Chinese system, especially with the Japanese system. So I received my black belts there, but was interesting in regards to – I was interesting in my accomplishment between the 90s and 2005, where I transitioned from second degree and transitioned right into a fifth degree Dan by Professor Gary Lee. And what I had to do was to test by combat. And what he did was I had to spar all his black belts in the school. And I could remember Sensei Wigginton saying before we interacted was, show Dr. Lee what you can do. He would always say that. And I would remember him saying he would always shake his head after his black belts were neutralized, after the encounter. So that was something I very remembered. During that time period, I was the guest instructor with Sensei Ronald Duncan in New York. And I was involved in his program as a guest instructor in Storm King, whereby he would have seminars. And you probably see a picture of me in the seminar in your History Karate Museum book that just came out. So in regards
you realize, to, Reggie, you realize that Rick Shanahan and Rick Wington gave me Ronald Duncan's red belt and certificate and the Murderer's Rose. I mean, I treasure that because Ronald Duncan was actually the first person to introduce jiu-jitsu to America before Stephen Hayes. People don't realize that, but that's true.
Yes, he was an amazing man. He was the father of ninjutsu. He brought ninjutsu in the United States. Very impressive, very, very knowledgeable in the art of self-defense. He was amazing.
Well, I hope everybody
man.
is more educated to what SETVR is, and I appreciate the six and our special guest, Laurie Tobin, to ask her special question because, you know, it's all about education, ladies and gentlemen, to understand what something is, even though virtual reality has been around a long time. But the concept of what SETVR, Self-Defense Enhanced Training and Virtual Reality, is. And we're going to do this, hopefully, every few weeks when we bring on Dr. Lee, and he'll answer questions pertaining, because I know the future is right around the corner with the projection of what CertVR can be. And again, Dr. Lee, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. And thank you for the six, the members of the six, with their amazing questions. Thank you so much.
Well, they're a special group of people. But
yes,
I'm moving right along with my favorite segment. Well, my favorite segment is both of them, the six and this one. But I created this a couple years ago, I guess. But, you know, what it is that a few years ago, we had a great fighter named Joe Louis, and he passed away. But before he passed away, he let me adopt one of his students, Mr. Dean Pyle, you heard earlier. But he has an alias. It's called the Wolverine. Now, the Wolverine symbolism is that he says what he means, he means what he says, and he can back it up. And every week on the 3 minutes with the Wolverine, I take off the leash. I let him kind of go at it and say what he wants to say. And this week, the topic is very simple. And, you know, it's kind of a personal thing to me because I've always been a shooter. But I'm curious how the Wolverine feels about it. Wolverine, are you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here, sir. I'm here.
Okay, my question is, how does the Wolverine feel about gun control in America?
Oh, man. Do you hear that beating? That was my rifle trying to get out of its case. Hey, you know, the thing about weapons is they have to be deployed by a human being. So the problem in America is not a weapon issue far as you like to call it gun control, but it's a people issue. The people that are deploying the weapons are the problem. Now, how do you stop a dude that is maybe wearing skinny jeans and he whips out a pistol and he's going to try to attack somebody? Well, when they see someone that deploys their weapon in a more organized manner, let's say, such as a law enforcement officer would do or a military person, that is going to let the person with the least amount of training know, maybe I don't want to deploy this weapon if there's going to be people around me that may have lots of experience in deploying and utilizing their weapon. That is what makes gun control safe. See, if you want to put the smackdown, let's say, on a active shooter situation, an active shooter is not going to come into an area and go diddy-bopping in to where he knows there's a bunch of ex-military people that are carrying weapons, because he knows those people will quickly deploy their weapon and extinguish, because the main thing is to neutralize that threat immediately, extinguish him as an active shooter. So the problem in the world is you cannot punish people that abide by the laws by taking weaponry away from them because someone is going to try to steal a weapon and use it. And if you want to say, and this may step on people's toes, well, hey, look, if people didn't have weapons, they wouldn't be one to steal. Well, listen, weapons are stolen from law enforcement places. They're stolen out of law enforcement cars. I know you think that's not true, but look it up. It is true. They can be stolen from a lot of different places. They can be smuggled in. I mean, they can be smuggled into the country and all kinds of ways that people can get their hands on a weapon. And me personally, I don't trust anybody that says, give me all your guns and I'll just keep you safe. No, thank you. I'd rather take my chances on keeping myself safe. So when it comes to gun control, you need to keep your elbows tucked down. You need to keep your head back, shoulders relaxed. Keep the butt of that rifle pulled nice and tight into your shoulder. Keep those elbows down. Keep the pad of your finger off of the trigger until it's on target, and then only the pad of your finger goes on that trigger. And look, the new way to hold a rifle is stick your arm way out to the end. I told Gunny Cummins this, and hold it, and he liked to have a cow. I don't do that either. I like to keep mine tucked way in. In my rifle, I have a 45-degree pistol grip, which I can pull everything in tight. You stick your elbows out like a chicken, you get your wings clipped, if you know what I mean, because people can see that. The only time that I teach a chicken wing is if they're doing, like we've been doing a lot of CQC training right now with a lot of different military groups, doing room-to-room searching, building entrances and breaches and clearing. So I'll have them chicken wing, and they're the opposite side of the person. They need to keep their arm out. This keeps people from shooting each other by friendly fire, and I make sure that it's muzzle before the flash, which means their muzzle needs to be equal to each other, shoulder to shoulder,
well,
elbow
Wolverine,
to elbow.
I appreciate your opinion, and your view is so important every week, whatever topic we talk about. And I promise you this upcoming year I'm with you with a lot of different topics. But, Wolverine, thank you for being on this show and being a part of the
thank you,
segment,
sir.
The 3 minutes. And, you know, I'm going to say thank you to the six. It means so much. And I miss Tom Spellman. I don't know what happened. I miss his because he had an important question, but I'll bring him back on later on. He'll ask that question, Dr. Lee. But moving right along, my special guest, Tony, you there?
I'm here.
Let me hit you with a legend name game right before you get off the air. George Minshew.
George Minshew. Wow.
I hit you with a dandy, didn't I?
Yeah, George, when I first came to Texas, back in 81, I mean, I competed in a tournament in West Texas, and, well, the first thing, that was like where I
that's
got to beat him.
That's I remember that, yeah.
And he invited me to the Karate Olympics, and
yeah,
I went over there. I went to Houston, the Karate Olympics, and compete over there at
took the Tony Lopez. Don't rub it in, buddy.
Yeah. But we hit it off pretty quick and kind of got, you know, became pretty good friends and started, you know, yeah, just hanging out at tournaments as time went on. And, we built a really, really good relationship, which led into building TNT and creating the Texas national team.
Yeah.
Traveling together and, you know, we still have a relationship where we all either talk on the phone every once in a while or, you know, I mean, now that, you know, the world has changed, so we don't socialize as much as we would love to, but we still have a really good relationship.
Yes, sir.
And we share a birthday in February.
The show tonight, Tony, getting you in the corner and asking the questions and, you know, I wish I had more time for everybody, but, you know, I'm for an hour, but we try to jam as much as we can in that hour every week. But I want to say, Tony, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you so much. And I'm not a rubber den, but I want you to know, every third place or second place I took to you, I treasured it. I treasured it to know I went up against the best. And you were, Tony. You were the best.
Thanks, brother. Thank you. Well, I love you. Thank you for having me on the show, and it's been nice to hear everybody on the show with, you know, talking with their inputs and just hearing a little bit about everybody's history, you know, some of the people's history, what you've gone through. I was really interested in knowing more about the Oculus and the ZVR. Really interesting.
Thanks. Happy holidays to you, buddy, and I mean it from the heart. I really do love you, Tony Lopez.
Love
and
you
make
too,
sure
brother.
You mark
that's, your calendar. That's everybody.
Well, make sure you mark your calendar for Roy Kirvin's event, October 8th, buddy. I hope to see you then. And ladies
Amen.
And gentlemen, we've been talking to the great Tony Lopez and the amazing six. And I miss Professor Spellman tonight, but thank you, Uncle Jerry Smith, Karen Slatcher, Dee Chambers, and, of course, A.J. Perry, and my special guest tonight, Lori Tobin. I want to say thank you to her. And we always say this every week, and we mean it from the heart. Mahalo. And aloha.
Mahalo.
Good night, everybody.
Mahalo.
Semper Fi.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.